for them. Just a few thoughts this morning and following the funeral yesterday afternoon of the Duke of Edinburgh. Well, good, wasn't it? I didn't actually follow all the service. I saw a little of it and read what was upcoming, the transcript, all that was going to be said and prayed, and the rest of it there. And we can be glad, can't we, at least at this, to this extent, that some wonderful scripture was actually read out loud. And how many millions or millions of people across the world would have been hearing that, so that they would hear that. But I guess one of the things that particularly is said about the Duke of Edinburgh, and will be said also about our Queen, that they are very much, the Duke of Edinburgh should use past tense, and shouldn't I, was very much a public servant, a public servant. Now, we may wonder a bit at the different sorts of lifestyles they have and homes that they have and cars that go round in and all the rest of it. Very remote, isn't it, from our experience. But the fact that if we put all that aside in a way, and all the gold and all the glittering pearls or whatever else there, that actually behind it all, and I think quite seriously behind it all, is public service, that there is a devotion there to public service. And there are some very moving things, I think, said about the Duke of Edinburgh and where he stood spiritually, I do not know. But there were some hopeful things about how he believed, at least in some sense, in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well said, Duke of Edinburgh, in that. And sure enough, if one understands properly the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, public service is very much there to the fore, isn't it? The one who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's public service. Not just for one generation, but just to leave a legacy that might survive, no, 50 years, whatever, but a legacy that would last for all generations. But the public service that he rendered was one that had innumerable people in view whom he had come to save, to give his life for them. The life that we give is his flesh that he will give for the life of the world, so he told the people of his day. And he's given that life, his body, for people just like us, people of our day and generation, people who are not yet born. And he knew them all, saw them all, and loved them from distances in time and space. But that is no difficulty for God, or the God-man, to be able to do that. And did it. He did so wonderfully, perfectly, so lovingly, so absolutely, so that we, any of us who are believers today, are the result of his public service, not coming to be served. So there wasn't a great pomp and circumstance surrounding his death. We've just gone through Easter, haven't we, and remembered what he suffered in his death and the kinds of things there that were just so shocking in terms of the degradation, the way in which people went out of their way to humiliate him and show that we hate you, we despise you, we just treat you as nothing. Well, Duke of Edinburgh, we're glad to report, had a better funeral than that. But that's where the Son of God had to come to the end of his earthly ministry. And it was designed, we thought about that, didn't we, back at Easter, that was meant to be so. And it wasn't just a kind of display of humility, but it was a public service. A service for people to die in their place, to pay the price for their sin, for their freedom, for their liberty, for their joy that is actually ours if we're Christians today. What joy it is, what liberty it is, to be free from the slavery of sin, to be outside of condemnation, but of to pass from death to life. And what a freedom and what a blessing that is. But there's something for us also to take away, isn't there? For us, if we're Christians or we're seeking Christ and beginning to perhaps entertain thoughts about him. Well, that's what we're called to, isn't it? We take up our cross daily to follow him, that he sets us actually then a pattern. Not that we're going to be able to do the things he did. We can't pay the price for anybody's sin. We couldn't pay for our own sin, let alone anybody else's. But we take away the example, which I guess is there in the Duke of Edinburgh, but most perfectly in the Son of Man, the Son of God, that we have our eye upon. Well, what can we do for other people? What can we contribute to their welfare, to their good? If we're just thinking of ourselves, what we can do for ourselves. Well, sadly, perhaps that's something quite big in our own day, and it doesn't speak well of our own day, the Duke of Edinburgh. What he had speaks perhaps well of something there that, I don't know, maybe we're just losing sight of. But there we are. There's an inspiration, perhaps, most perfectly there in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're here for others, actually. And the best thing that any Christian can do is tell others of this great love, this great mercy that would meet them if they look for it, desire it, repent of their sin there at the cross. Well, just a few thoughts as we travel forward. May God bless us and encourage us, and may he indeed bless the Queen in all of her grief, who could not be moved to see her sitting on her own, having to bear that grief. And she looked to be the most lonely person in the world, didn't she, at that point? But we trust God will comfort her and all those that truly look to him.